The Crown Refs Podcast, right back at you with 24-time Final Four official D. Cantner, coming up next.
Thank you for listening to the Crown Refs Podcast, the audio experience for basketball officials. Serve the game.
I took a lot of time that summer. I really did, and I thought, I did a lot of introspective thinking and going, why am I doing this if I'm so frustrated by the end of a season? And I'm not enjoying it. And I really wasn't. My joy was being stolen, but by no one but myself.
You know, anytime someone can hold a job for 32 straight years, I think they're very worthy of giving examples how to build sustainability within your profession. So, Dee, we ask you, what are your five keys for career longevity?
Oh, my gosh. Refusing to accept that I'm old. No, that's not it. That wasn't it. Number one is again, focusing on the servicing of the game and the passion. I mean, I love what I do. I really do. I mean, there are some games you're out there going, oh my God, is this thing ever gonna end? I'm not saying every time you walk on the floor, it's just sheer joy. Of course it's not. And there are situations and moments where you're challenged, but overall, you know, I still really enjoy being out there, which is why I have not retired. People keep saying, how much longer are you going to do it? I don't know. We'll see.
You better not retire in that shape you are in.
Well, yeah, thank you for that. And that's number two. No, I don't know if number two is fitness or not, but obviously my level of fitness is pretty strong. And it was something I've always been dedicated to, but I was dedicated to it even in Fortune 500. You know, as all my sales people, you know, my sales friends were all going out and all, you know, we were all going out with clients and whatnot. I said, yep, I'll be there in an hour or so. And they're like, really, Cantner? You're going to go eat, you're going to go work out, right? I said, I am. And then I'll come to happy hour. So, but I'm going to do my workout first because it's just something I've done literally for 44 years, nonstop. Probably lifting weights, work. I mean, I've been an athlete since the age of seven, competitive athlete. I started running track when I was seven. So it's a whole long time. So fitness is a huge part of, you know, what I enjoy in life. And, you know, I've been thankfully blessed with a pretty good genetics to still stay pretty strong at my age and still in shape. And yeah, I can still run. Those fast twitch muscles, don't ever ask me to run a marathon. No.
Long distance, not for me.
Not on the bucket list or anything that rhymes with that. Sorry. I know this is a children's show.
for the kids. Yeah.
But I definitely thankful that I still have fast twitch muscle fibers and I can still sprint up and down that court pretty good. Not taking yourself too seriously. Mm-hmm. Now, in officiating, if you take yourself seriously, you will be, well, it's going to be a tough road. It's going to be a tough road because there are just so many situations, so many moments that it's going to be difficult to navigate through if you are, you know, you take yourself that seriously. Obviously, rules knowledge. You know, I always tell younger officials, anything you can do to control on your own, take control of it. Your level of fitness, your rules knowledge, your commitment to understanding and reading, you know, that CCA manual that nobody reads, you know, understanding fundamental court positions, understand, you know, the system works. If you know the system, I find it remarkable when I'm helping younger officials and I'm breaking down film, I'm like, where is your primary area of responsibility? Because you're not in it. Why are you not in it? Do you not know it? No. So obviously addressing everything you can address on your own, because there's so many aspects to officiating that you're not going to be able to address. You know, there are things that you can't control. You know, why did Joey get that game and you didn't? Maybe it isn't because of your skill level, because it was something else. Maybe they're, you know, more ideally located geographically. Whatever the case may be. So there are so many things you won't be able to control, but do take control of the things you can control. So I've always been committed to reading the rules and knowing what's going on and staying, you know, on top of all of that. You know, this is something that's developed throughout the career, not always good at it in the beginning of the career, but the ability to recover from missed calls and making mistakes, forgiving yourself. How quickly can you forgive yourself? You know, how quickly can you move on? How quickly can you recover from huge disappointments? How? There were times that I thought I should have moved on earlier in my career and I didn't. And I'm like, oh gosh. I mean, I remember in particular, 1991, I really thought I had a chance to move on to the regionals or whatever case may be. And I, you know, I was so busy, Paul, trying to figure out what everybody wanted. I really was. Like, this one wants me to look this way. This one wants me to stand this way. This one wants me to speak this way. This one. I took a lot of time that summer. I really did. And I thought, I did a lot of introspective thinking and going, why am I doing this if I'm so frustrated by the end of a season? And I'm not enjoying it. And I really wasn't. My joy was being stolen, but by no one but myself. But I took some time and I said, why am I, what's going on? And I realized I was driving myself absolutely cuckoo, trying to figure out what everyone else wanted. So that summer, I truly said, listen, I said, Cantor, you know, I don't talk about myself in the third person, but I said, you know, said, you really are out there. And I know, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm out there trying to do the best job I can every time I walk on that floor. Now, some nights I'm better than others, whether it's biorhythms, whether it's what I ate that day, whatever the case may be. And I recognize that some nights I'm better than others, but I'm still, no, purity of heart. I'm trying to do the best job I can every single possession. So during that summer, I said, stop, just stop. Stop trying to figure out what everybody else wants and just go out there and do the best job you can and enjoy the ride. And that was the first time I went to the Final Four. And I, you know, it was just, it sounds so simple, but it was that simple. And then there are moments that are going to steal that joy. And there are nights that you're not going to sleep. And there are setbacks in your career. You know, gosh, I've probably had one of the best ones, you know, first woman, you know, one of the first women hired, first woman fired. I have that, you know, that position that no one else has from the NBA, but I could have curled up in a ball. I did for a little bit, but I realized I still loved officiating and the women's game welcomed me back. And I returned to the Final Four in 2003. So didn't skip a beat that way. And I had a lot of sleepless nights, but I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself. And can we all, and I think that's part of it, is just why I've been successful is just, or whatever success is, but why people say I've been successful. It's because, you know, I just accept the fact that I'm doing this for the right reason. And it really is a purity and intent of heart that I'm out there trying to do that best job. You know, those other things help. Those other things help. That ability to communicate. And truly, you know, it's funny because I'm actually working a little bit with Basketball Australia. And Lauren Jackson, who is part of their organization now, reached out to me. And Lauren didn't talk to me about, you know, what a fabulous play caller I was. Why she wants me to help with some of their officials in Australia. She didn't talk to me about, wow, you were an amazing play caller. She didn't say anything about that. She said, we could always talk to you. We could always talk to you. We knew that, you know, you were there trying to do the right thing. And if we were a little fired up, you tried to talk us off the ledge or, you know, and if we said a bad word, you just went, woo, you know, whatever, just bring it down. She said, but we could always talk to you. And, you know, so the players, you know, understand too. I mean, half the time when I miss a call with a player, I just look and go, God, that was awful. It was awful. I'm sorry. And half the time they go, it's okay, D. You know, it's all right. And they end up comforting me. And I'm like, well, thanks. You know, it's like sometimes they're not so happy. And I get it, you know. But when they're not happy again, if they come at me hard, I just go, you know, I might have missed that call or I did miss that call, but you are not going to disrespect me. I'm not going to disrespect you. And I assure you, my play calling's better than your shooting percentage. So you need to stop. Because by no means am I advocating for tolerance of disrespect in any manner. That's a hot button with me. You know, I get competitive fire. I get heat of the moment reaction. I do not get disrespect from anyone.
Your play calling percentage is 96%. Their shooting percentage is 38%.
I hope mine's 96. It depends on the day. But thank you, Paul.
Thank you for listening to the Crown Refs Podcast. Serve the game.
Thanks for listening to the episode. Sorry to cut that interview short, but if you would like to hear the full 90-minute interview with Dee Cantner, please check out the link in this episode description. Super grateful for Dee's contributions. I thought she was tremendous, and I really look forward to you hearing the rest of this interview. Do me one last favor before you go. Have a great rest of your day.